Sermon 22. Whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 33. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, "This was offered to idols," do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the Church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Beloved saints, today, through the word of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we will deeply examine how those who have received salvation should live, and why one can fall even while knowing the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. This word is not a simple warning, but a word that clearly shows the discernment that those who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit must possess. The Apostle Paul first mentions the history of the people of Israel. They were baptized into Moses, ate the same spiritual food, and drank the same spiritual drink. This means that they were within God's grace of salvation. However, Paul continues and says this, "But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." This is a very important warning. Just because there is an outward experience of faith, it does not mean that it is true faith. Why did this happen? They experienced the work of salvation that God performed, but because they did not accurately know its meaning. In other words, they did not know the structure of salvation. Beloved saints, the exact same thing happens today. Even while being born into this world, hearing God's word in the church, and serving, if one does not accurately understand the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, one has no choice but to be destroyed. Paul shows the failure of Israel in four ways: the sins of idolatry, sexual immorality, testing God, and complaining. All of these are not simple problems of actions, but evidence that the center of the heart was not with God. If one does not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit, a person will inevitably obsess over outward things. Faith is shaken according to environment, emotion, and situation, and eventually one comes to complain and tries to return to the world. However, a person who accurately knows and believes in the structure of the gospel of the water and the Spirit is different. He can know that his salvation does not depend on his weakness or the environment he is in. The gospel word of the water and the Spirit is that Jesus received baptism from John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, received the judgment of sin on the cross, resurrected from death, and completed our salvation. Because the one who believes in the gospel word of the water and the Spirit is saved from sin, that faith can no longer be shaken. Still, Paul says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." This is a warning given to a person who has faith believing in Jesus without knowing the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The moment one thinks, "I am fine," or "I am believing well," that person comes to believe in the church he attends, or his own faith, and at that time, he falls to Satan the devil. True faith is not relying on one's own heart, but must rely on the word of truth of salvation that has already been accomplished. In the following words, Paul delivers an important promise. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Many people accept this word simply as a comfort. However, a gospel meaning is contained here. The reason we can overcome tests of faith that are difficult for us to bear is not because our will is strong. A person who believes in the Lord, who already received baptism from John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, went to the cross, received the judgment of our sins for us, resurrected from death, and became our Savior, does not collapse even in the midst of tests. Paul then speaks again about idolatry. "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." Idols do not simply mean images, because there are many things in our hearts that we rely on more than God. A person who does not know the gospel word of being born again will inevitably rely on other things more than God. However, a person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit comes to believe only in Jesus Christ and rely on his word. because his salvation depends on the gospel word of the water and the Spirit that the Lord has already completed. Also, Paul speaks about the Holy Communion, emphasizing that we are those united with Christ. We are not simply people who attend church, but those who have become one with Jesus Christ. He had our sins transferred to him through the baptism received from John, received the judgment of sin on the cross, resurrected from death, and became our Savior. Therefore, Paul summarizes the standard of life like this. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is the life of a person who believes the gospel. This word is not a rule telling you what to do. As one who has already received salvation, it means that the center of that life must be with God. It is no longer a life lived for oneself, but that one has become a person who walks with God. And finally, Paul says this, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." This is the fruit of the gospel. A person who knows the gospel escapes from self-centeredness and comes to live a life that saves others. Beloved saints, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 speaks clearly to us. Just because one knows the gospel does not mean one automatically lives correctly. Only when we know the gospel accurately and stand upon it can we live an unshakable life. Is your faith perhaps still shaken by the environment, changing according to emotions, and collapsing according to situations? If so, you must return again to the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. Through the baptism received from John, Jesus already bore the sins of the world, received the judgment of that sin once and for all on the cross to solve it, and completed our salvation through resurrection from death. The one who holds on to this gospel is not shaken in any situation. Now we must live upon this gospel of the water and the Spirit. We must not rely on ourselves, but rely on the righteousness of God. We must live the life of one who builds up the faith of others, not our own benefit. I hope this gospel becomes the center of your life. Therefore, I bless you in the name of the Lord, that you will not fall in any test, and will come to live a life directed toward God.